I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on. Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I'm raring to go today. So, we have lots of changes going on in our world. We got schools starting to open up, maybe. I don't know what the schools are like by you. Here we have kids who are on split sessions. They got hybrids where they're going to school one day a week, and then they stay home another day, and they go online. It's really kind of crazy. Brings me up to the idea of, I never realized how smart this damn coronavirus was. I always thought it was a natural occurring virus that came at us, and it got caught on the population. It was passed from person. It was very, very deadly to some people, not so deadly to others. I had no idea how smart this damn virus is. You know, here in New Jersey, we've had our governor who's been really refusing to allow us to get together with each other, shutting down, gyms, locking people up for opening their business. At the same time, they're letting criminals out of jail. So basically, the theory is, if you're a criminal in jail, you might get corona in that location, the coronavirus. Therefore, we have to let you out to protect your health. But if you're a business person and you defy the governor's order, they will lock you up and put you in jail. Now, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Well, I guess in a liberal world, it must make perfect sense, because it makes no sense to me. If you're arresting someone for opening their business in defiance of your order and you're willing to put them in jail, but a criminal who's been convicted of some kind of crime, and violent crimes in many cases, that person you're going to let out of jail so you protect their health. So who have they made the criminals and the victims here? This is one of the incontrovertible things that we see about liberalism, where I call it bizarro world. Up is down is up, front is back. It makes no sense whatsoever when you look at it closely. Now, it's we all know it's emotion driven, for the most part. It is hysterics driven. It is filled with lies, because they can't really tell us the truth about what they believe or what they want to do to us. And again, I want to throw this caveat out there. I don't mean every person who calls themselves a Democrat. Absolutely not. I know lots and lots of people, including friends and family, who consider themselves liberal Democrats because they believe in doing the right thing. They believe in caring for people. They believe in seeking justice and loving everyone and giving everyone an extra chance. And you know what? All of those things, I think we all believe in all of that. The difference with them, and this is where I have to demarcate the line. Why don't I think the same way if I believe the same things? Why don't you believe the same things and feel the same way about stuff? Because we look and we say there's a reality to how things actually work, and not just, the pie in the sky ideas. So when I say I separate everyday Democrat people from the radical, nutty, power-hungry Democrat Party, I think we have to do that, only to be fair. All these people that I know are good and decent people. They want the best for themselves, for their family, for their friends, for everyone. It's just the way they go about things is so bizarro world and backwards. Like this governor here in New Jersey telling us, you can't go out to bars and restaurants. You can't go to churches. You can't go to funerals and weddings, but you can go to Walmart. Now, I got nothing against Walmart. It's a nice store. They provide a lot of stuff for a lot of people. But why is it safe to go to Walmart, which has to hold, more than 500 people? And I wouldn't include just them. Home Depot was open the whole time. And I love Home Depot. I'm there all the time buying stuff, working around my house. Why could I go there, but I couldn't go to church? This is where that demarcation between your everyday liberal Democrat, that's a good, decent person, and these power-hungry liberal maniacs, is where you draw the line. You know, one of the major contentions that people on the left have, and I'm talking about the radical, crazy, power-hungry people, one of the problems they have is they got this darn pesky religion in the way. You know, people holding to doing the right thing and, you know, God and, there's right and there's wrong, you know. Really puts a kibosh on some of their plans. So getting rid of religion is important. Okay, now before I stray too far away from my opening thought, I'm going to circle back around to the religion. But the reason that I say this virus is so smart, because of everything that my governor here has done, and governor in New York has done, in Connecticut, by shutting us all down, we see other places are not so shut down. I went to a restaurant last week, and we're open 25% indoor capacity now in New Jersey. Oh, everybody's cheering and clapping their hands like we got a present from Santa Claus. And we go to this restaurant, my wife and I, and there's a bunch of people outside. There's an outdoor bar, you know, under a tent, and there's tons of people inside. And we said, okay, how long for a table? They said about an hour, but you can get a drink. There's a drink line you can get in, and you can sit outside and have a cocktail while you're waiting. Boy, this sounds great. It was a beautiful night. So I got in line. I was in line for, I don't know, probably about 35 minutes waiting for my drink. And while I was in line, half of the line ended up inside the building, you know, where people are eating. But I'm sure we didn't count as part of the, you know, total count they were allowed inside. And I'm standing in line with a bunch of other people. We have got to be, I don't know, 3-4 feet apart, because people are jammed in. They're at a bar waiting our turn to get our drinks. And everyone's talking to each other, having a good time. But as you look around, 6 feet from you, 10 feet from you, are the tables where people are sitting down, and they got their masks off. But we're all wearing our mask. The servers, the bartenders, are all wearing masks. But the patrons, the people sitting down 10, 15 feet from us, and a whole room full of them, are not wearing their masks. You say, this has got to be the smartest goddamn virus I have ever heard of. With all of this lockdown stuff, that virus knows that those people are inside sitting down because they are following the governor's rule, and therefore they won't get sick. Whereas me, I'm in line. I'm not part of the inside people following the rule. I might get the virus, so therefore I have my mask on, and the virus can't come and get me. Now, when I went back outside, of course, everyone outside has their mask off. You're not necessarily sitting 6 feet apart, because everyone's outside waiting to get inside to the restaurant. So you've got your masks off, you're meeting new people, you're having your cocktail. It almost feels like the old world. You're talking with people, very interesting. And then I get a call on my cell phone. Lieutenant, we have your table ready. You want to come on in? Sure. Remember to put your mask on when entering. So I get up in front of all of these people. My wife and I put our masks on to walk through the door to go to our table to sit down around everyone else who doesn't have masks on. That virus is so smart. It knows that I'm not at a table. Because at a table, I'm safe. The governor said I'm safe sitting there. Right? So the virus, no, it can't. It's like a force field. It must be like a big force field. They can't come get me once I sit at the table and take my mask off. But walking between the tables, or if I have to get up and go to the bathroom, right? Then the virus immediately knows I'm there, and then boom, jumps right on me and gets me. And then, of course, I could kill people because now I'm a carrier of the virus. But up until that moment, man, I outsmarted that virus, right? It's as smart as it could be, but as long as I followed the governor's rules, I was perfectly okay to sit down at that table and then take my mask off. Does that make sense to you? Or does that seem like more nonsense? Comes from the head of a liberal. Now, I see it one of two ways. If the virus is that catchy, if it's spread that easily, and it's that deadly, then we really should not have any restaurants open. But to say, it's only a little bit deadly, it's only a little bit catchy, 6 feet will keep you safe, and once you sit at a table, you're perfectly safe. But don't have any more people in there than that. And if you get up or you come and go, make sure you put that mask on, because that is one smart virus. And you know, it could ruin our entire state, and then we have to shut down again. That's the big threat. You know, if I see that the numbers are going, I'm gonna shut this place down again. That's a lot of power in the hands of somebody. Now, I've said all along, I believe the virus will kill people. I have an 87-year-old father-in-law who has heart conditions, lung conditions, you name it. If he got COVID-19, it could very well kill him. I don't want him to get sick and die. I don't want anyone to get sick and die from the virus. But the reality is, it's mostly older people and people with conditions. By now, we all know this by now, don't we? Young people are really unaffected by it. Yes, I know, Mary Ellen. Karen's jumping up and down right now in the audience going, there's a 19-year-old that got it and he died. A 19-year-old got it and he died. And that's a terrible, horrible thing. And you're right. Some younger people without pre-existing conditions may react badly to this virus. There are other young people who have nothing else wrong with them, could get the regular flu and die. Each human being is a little bit different and we react to things differently. But the vast majority of us, and that's what I'm talking about here, the vast majority of us that are not elderly, that do not have underlying conditions, will be perfectly healthy. Okay? So therefore, we should be able to make the choice.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I understand the argument. I have to stay away from people who could potentially be sick. So that means, do I go around my 87-year-old father-in-law? No, I'd have to make a choice, wouldn't I? I'd have to say, either I want to go to restaurants or I really shouldn't see him for 2 weeks because I wouldn't want to infect him. The people who work in the restaurants, who probably need income, they should be able to decide, I want to go to work today. I think I'm willing to take a chance. I'm young and healthy. They should have that choice. The restaurant owner should have the choice to open up or to stay closed, right? That's the problem with all of this. Our choices are being taken away from us. They're being made for, because how come in Florida it's open? How come in Wichita it's open? How come in Billings, Montana it's open? Because we have to remember, the important thing is not how many people get the virus, because it's very communicable, apparently, very powerful virus. Remember, it's very smart. It knows when you get up from that table without a mask, it's jumping right on you. It's very communicable, but it's not the number of people who get it. It's the number of people who get sick and die from it we have to worry about. So we were told in the beginning of this, way back in March of 2020, we had to go for 2 weeks, 15 days, right? Flatten the curve. That was the argument, flatten the curve. And everyone kind of got on board. Okay, we don't want to, because we all thought we were going to die. But we learn over time that we flattened the curve. The numbers are very low. Now there's a whole nother set of reasons. Well, if the numbers start to go up, we're going to shut it down. No, wait a minute. The curve is flattened. We had to protect the hospital beds, remember? And the ventilators to make sure they were available for the people who were going to die. We've done that. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of ventilators and hospital beds in New York City. They've all been closed down and shut down because they didn't need them. So what are we doing? We're going to stay shut down. Restaurants are going out of business. People are losing their livelihoods over this. It's time we change this. But how do you change it? You can't really change it. We saw a guy in New Jersey, South Jersey, opened his gym 3 times, got arrested. Right? Is somebody going to step in for him? Is somebody going to step in for him and treat him like he had liberal privilege? Because if he went to his gym and wanted to burn it down and burn all the stores down next to him and protest, he'd probably be allowed to do that. But how dare he open his business and transact commerce when the governor told him not to? This, my friends, is actually a sickness.
And it's all related to politics. So Karen, sit down. Karen's jumping up and down again, screaming. She's screaming at me that, you know, this is a problem. You can't do it. You're not worried about things that are important. No, that's not true. I just got done telling you I'm very worried about all of these things, Karen. But I think if you're that nervous, you should stay home. I know some people that are that nervous and they should stay home. They shouldn't venture out. They should spend whatever savings they have or unemployment they can get, whatever they can do. And they should stay home. The rest of us need to go out. You know, we can't vote, but we can riot. We can't vote, but we can protest. We can't vote, but we can go to the Home Depot and buy wood with 5,000 other people standing in line. I have said many times in my columns that I put up here on AmericaOutloud.com on the platform, I have a sinking feeling we're being played. We're being played hard, and we're losing. The people that are going to lose their businesses are going to lose them forever. I know people. I was with a guy this weekend who has three restaurants in New York City, two in New York City, one in North Jersey. And he says opening at 25% capacity will cost him more money than just staying closed. Because he has to pay people, he has to bring in supplies, and he can only bring in a little bit, which his menu is limited then. So he can't open at all. He says the only people who might be making money are people that are lucky enough to have a big, giant parking lot where they can put out lots and lots of tents and hope the weather stays nice. Well, guess what? We only got a few months left in nice weather. And then all those businesses go under too. So we have to make a choice here. What are we doing? Who do we vote for is what it comes down to. Are we going to learn that lesson? Are we going to learn that lesson of who we vote for makes a difference in our lives in so many different ways? So my friends, that's something to think about here. And I'm glad I got that out of my system because that damn virus is smart and I wanted you to know it. I'll be back in a minute with more Chasing Justice.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chasing Justice. Ding, 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 round two. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we are here every weekday at 3 p.m. You know, I usually have a ton of columns up on AmericaOutloud.com. I'm working on a couple of doozies. You know, I like that. A doozy comes from the Duesenberg back in the day. It was such a cool car. That's a doozy, right? I'm trying to put all this election information into perspective. This vote by mail, the coming chaos that I see on November 3rd, the potential for violence the night of November 3rd, and definitely on November 4th, depending on which way the election goes, the hordes and hordes of lawyers that are going to be involved, that are going to nitpick every little thing, the thousands of ballots that are going to be disqualified. Whose ballot's going to be disqualified? Yours, because you didn't mark it correctly? We don't even know who they're going to, and they're going to have the nerve to disqualify your ballot because you didn't initial something in the right place or because you didn't sign it in the right place. You mailed it back in and you put as best a signature on there you could. That vote should count, shouldn't it? I guess it all depends on whose vote it is and who they're voting for, right? Because human beings have to open that piece of paper, don't they? They have to look at that envelope. They have to then record that vote. We have seen people are willing to cheat and to lie and to do things improperly. What was I hearing the other day? There's been 1,000 referrals made for voter fraud in the past couple of years. What's the chances there'll be voter fraud in this election? the biggest one to come along, the most contested one to come along in our entire history. Now, of course, I'm basing that on the history that I understand my life. I'm sure maybe back in, you know, 1832, there was a big election that they might have thought was the be-all and end-all of elections, but I'm talking about the modern times. This election is the biggest thing to happen to our country. And because we see the forces lining up, and we see the forces lining up that are willing to cheat, lie, and steal, and I'm talking about the Democratic Party, because we know they cheat, lie, and steal. We saw them do it in the coup d'etat attempt against this president, and it's all directed at this president. You know, I'm a pretty even keel kind of guy. I see things as many ways as I possibly can. And I base my opinions on what I see as fact, what I've determined from research or reading or talking to people. And it seems pretty clear that the Republicans are just as bad in this instance because they have Trump derangement syndrome also. And that's really this whole thing. If you had a Bush as the president, there would be a fight, but you wouldn't have had these 3 years of this horror. Now, any one of the Bushes or the Clintons or the Bidens, the Obamas, the Mondales, none of them would have been able to do anything like the things that Trump has done. You can't deny that. The man has sealed now 2 peace deals in the Middle East, and a third one is on the way. Do you hear about it on the news? Back in the day, if one of these other presidents even had a meeting between two of the groups, even a phone meeting, well, first of all, they wouldn't have gotten impeached over it, but that's the new rules. If they even had a phone meeting back in the day, that would have been top of the news for weeks that they're trying to solve this Middle East problem. Here is President Trump comes along and signs 2 deals that haven't been seen in years and years and years to try and start to change what's going on in the Middle East so that it's safe for the people who live there and safe for the rest of the world. You know, it's a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't think it's a big deal, I'm going to tell you, it is a very big deal and it's a tremendous accomplishment. If a president could come out of a 4-year term with that accomplishment alone, something that's been impossible to do for years, that would be something you could hang your head on as you go into retirement and say, hey, I did that, something nobody could do. But Trump has done so many other things. The economy, prison reform, I mean, you could rattle them down. People do. But they don't talk about them because they got Trump derangement syndrome. They really do. I thought people were kind of wacky about it, but it actually drives them crazy. I saw on social media the other day, it was great. There was a BLM protester, a young white girl named Karen, imagine that. And she's got her poster, you know, protecting black lives. Who's against that? Who wants black people to get killed? I don't think anybody does. Right? But she's out there protesting, and this young man who was kind of doing an interview with people there, you know, kind of a man of the street, went over there with statistics. Now, people hate statistics. And he says, what are you protesting? We're saving black lives from the cops. He says, okay, how many police officers have killed black men this year? And she goes, I hate you. Everybody hates you. He says, why do you hate me? I'm asking you a question. Statistics. She goes, oh, there you go. You and your statistics. He says, listen, it's been 9 or 10, each one tragic. But we don't know the incidents that led up to it. We don't know what happened that transpired. Maybe it was just a bad cop decided to kill a black guy, which is horrible, and we should prosecute him for the full extent of the law. Everyone agrees with that. But maybe there were some other circumstances that led to those tragedies, because sometimes that's what leads to tragedies. And she didn't want to hear it. She started to walk away. And he says, listen, you hate statistics. Let me just ask you, how many black men have killed other black men this year? Don't we care about those lives? Well, this is where Karen's head started to melt. Because that number is about 7,500. 7,500 of our brother and sister Americans kill each other. And we can't talk about it. We can't bring it up. If we bring it up, we're trying to subterfuge because you're a white racist and you hate black people. No, I think black lives matter. I think every black life matters, just like I think every white life matters, every Asian life matters. I think we all matter here. But when we have that many people getting killed, shouldn't we be worried about that? Shouldn't we be going to Chicago and protecting people? How do we go every weekend like it's some kind of a ritual now? Oh, 72 shootings in Chicago, 19 people killed. like it's nothing. This is a tragedy. That is an American tragedy. That is something we should be screaming at our public officials to fix. Now, if police officers do the wrong thing, like I said, nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. Any cop will tell you that. And if a cop does something purposefully illegal or wrong or violent, they should be prosecuted. But we have to look at every instance individually. We have to see what's going on. But there's thousands of our fellow Americans being murdered, and we do nothing about it. That is a tragedy. That is something we should have to answer for. But we won't. Nobody will bring it up. Nobody will talk about it. Gets hushed under the rug. Hey, today, there were more of our fellow citizens who happen to be African-American who were killed by violence in the street, and nobody's doing anything about it. A baby might have been shot in a stroller or sitting on a porch. You never know. These kind of things happen. Is that how we're going to take this? That's absurd. Do you realize how sick that is of a society that we do that? Listen, I'm all for protecting everybody. I'm all for fixing injustices where they are. I've said many times on this program, there's lots of things we can look at to try and make a better world, to make a better relationship between our peoples, to make sure that injustice is wiped out, racism is wiped out. But when we ignore an entire situation, why do we ignore it? How is that right? Well, I'll tell you, it's not right. But you know what? It's going to go on and go on and on because the politicians aren't going to do anything about it. And the media is certainly not going to do anything about it. So in the meantime, you got a bunch of people sitting around lamenting that we can't change anything. We can't fix anything. In the meantime, our cities are still burning. People are being killed. Riots. Traffic blocked all over the place. Blocking ambulances. Blocking cars have to go to work. Everyone thinks that's great. You think that's great? I don't think that's great. I think that is another problem in our society that we have to look at. And this election, is that going to fix it? Well, we see our friends on the left telling us, no, it's only going to get worse unless you vote for Biden. Does anybody think that the violence that they have unleashed in the Antifa and the BLM movement and these other, even the right-wing groups that are out there that are now in the middle of this, fighting all of this, does anybody think that's going to go away? When Joe Biden becomes president, he's not allowed to use any troops. Remember, oh, don't you dare. You better not use any troops. You better stay in Washington, be nice and quiet. This is a state's issue, right? There's no insurrection, Mr. Biden, when you take over. There's no sending in troops. He's got to let it burn, right? People need to vent what they're angry about. You think we'll see a different way of looking at it then? I'm going to guess we probably would. So you know what? I'm going to jump off that subject for right now. We all need to think about that a little closer in our heads. Where are we going with this? Who are we going to vote for? See what I'm saying? Who you vote for locally makes a difference. Who we vote for nationally makes a difference. Difference to all our lives, to our family, to our children, to everyone. Think about it long and hard. Go to the polls. That's my advice. Go to the polls. Cast your ballot. It's hard to get frauded then. They can still fraud you. But it's harder then when you actually push a lever than if you just mail in a ballot that you didn't ask for. All right? Who haven't we heard from as we're getting closer and closer to this election? Oh, Attorney General Barr. Where is Attorney General Barr? Doesn't he have some big investigation or something he's doing? Isn't he working on something kind of pertinent that really could make a big difference in this election if people know the truth about what happened in the last election? Why is he holding off? I don't know. Is he holding off? I'm hearing all these rumblings that, the Durham probe is getting ready to release some information. Can you imagine the media, how they're going to go nuts if that's released before the election? Right? Can you imagine the screams of bias? They're already saying that, Barr is in Trump's pocket and he controls him and tells him what to do. It is so absurd. That again, because we have no media real coverage of it, we have no idea. People, the average people really don't know what's going on if they don't pay attention to it every day like you and I do. So what's going to go on with this Durham probe? Well, Lindsey Graham is out there making commentary about how he thinks something's going to happen pretty soon. pretty soon, pre-election, something's going to happen pretty soon. And then again, we had somebody who I liked. I thought he was pretty good, was Trey Gowdy. He came out, and I think I mentioned this once before. He was saying it recently. He said, he goes, listen, I think you're going to see a couple of low-lying fruit, maybe no more indictments than Kleinsmith, the guy they already got. There'll be nothing else. The report will come out and just say a lot of people did inappropriate things, but nobody did anything actually illegal when you look at it, even though we see the illegality right in front of our face. And that will be the end of it. That's what Trey Gowdy is saying. I hope he's wrong. I voiced that opinion in the last year or so since the probe started. I thought for sure that that was the way the deep state's going to take care of itself because, you know, Trump is a blip in time here. And all of us who are Trump supporters, who not necessarily Trump the man, Trump the policy guy is who we're supporting. You know, good judges, good economy, strong America, you know, that stuff. That's what we're supporting. All these anti-Trumpers, to him, he's a blip in the road. You know, even if he gets reelected, it's 4 more years. And then he'll be gone. Then we're back to the deep swamp, right? The deep state swamp. Because I keep asking, who comes after Trump? Who's the next one? Lindsey Graham, does he think he's the next one? I like Lindsey Graham, but where's his investigation? Where's him subpoenaing the hell out of everybody in this thing, calling these people up there, do secret hearings like the Congress did? They didn't care what was going on, elections or not. They just did it. Where's Lindsey Graham doing that? Do your investigation. Bring them up there under oath. Get Mr. Schiff in there under oath. Well, it's never been done before. Do it now. I read an article the other day that was disheartening because of my disappointment in our Republican friends who are representatives out there. They got no backbone. Very few of them. Jim Jordan's a great guy. I like him. A couple other guys are pretty good. A couple of the girls are excellent now. We have some excellent women out there fighting. But for the most part, there's no backbone in the party. They're anti-Trumpers, whether they say it or not, and they're part of the swamp. But we're hearing, you know, these things going on out there that, I don't know, is any of this going to change? Who's going to follow after Trump? Nobody. We go back to the swamp. We go back to you and me having to put up with whatever they decide to do to us. I'm not happy with that. I'm really not happy with that. You know, we got this damn smart virus running around that can tell when we have a mask on or where we're supposed to be sitting. It knows the rules better than we do. We got these politicians that have no backbone who are controlling us. You know, where are these people standing up? Where is Lindsey Graham to hold these hearings and get an answer? Where is Bob Barr and Mr. Durham's investigation? Are we going to see nothing or are we going to get some justice? You know, Hillary sits around with a smirk on her face. We know she committed crimes. She deleted emails. Imagine if you got a subpoena from the government to bring your emails in, and you said, well, I went through them myself, and I deleted the ones that I don't think are pertinent. Oh, you think the FBI or whatever government agency subpoenaed you would say, oh, well, we're glad you did that work for us. Thanks a lot. And you know, another thing, I went through them, and there's nothing incriminating there at all. Do you think you would get that same treatment? You would not. You'd be burned so fast, you wouldn't be able to move. This is what's frustrating. This is what's frustrating and angry as we go through this. You know, we saw Nora Dennehy, I think that's her name, Dennehy. She was an advisor or one of the attorneys in the in Bob Barr's office, and she quit recently. The rumor is that she quit because she feels that there's pressure coming from the White House to release this investigation before it's ready. And then I saw today that she's saying, no, that's not really true. That's not the reason. She was only a short-term assignment person, and now it's time for her to go. We never know because they lie to us. They all lie to us, right? So this woman quits. Why would she quit? Only two reasons to quit like that. Number one, she's a short-term person. I'm sorry, there's three reasons. I'll give her three reasons. She is a short-term person. Her assignment was over, and it's time to go, and everybody's making a big deal out of it. Number two, she really does feel that there's pressure from the administration to release this. And by principles, she doesn't think it's right to release this information right now. Or number three, she's trying to make a stand to show everybody there's some corruption here and when there's really not. She's a partisan and she's jumping out there to I can't stay in this job the way they're pressure from the president. There's only the three reasons that it could be. And I don't know. I don't know the reason she's doing it. She hasn't come out and said. Can I guess? I think we can all guess. We've all seen how these people operate. Right? Are they thinking about you and your children and grandchildren and your future? Or are they thinking about themselves? Oh, that's right. You get three answers, and the first two don't count. Number three is it. They don't care about us. This is a game all the way around. You know, I've been an investigator for my whole life. My whole adult life, I was an investigator. And I had homicides and multiple drug dealings and economic crimes that stretched all across businesses and government. And those investigations were over in 6 months, 7 months. People were indicted. We got ready for trial. Federal investigations go on for years and years and years. And everybody's jumping up and down now because apparently Durham is investigating part of his investigation. At the end, the feds usually what they do is they call in the principals at the very end just to say, hey, here's what our investigation shows. You want to tell us the truth or not? You're going to lawyer up or not? What are you going to do? You know, and then they get their statement. And then they come out with what they're going to do. I certainly hope that that's the case, that we get something soon. You know, like tomorrow would be good. But how about the first week of October? So we have time to go over this and think about it and look at it. And the press, you know, the great press we have has a chance to look at it and go, wow, Comey really did leak stuff. And this guy really did bad things. And maybe we should ask those questions instead of having them on and, you know, letting them promote their books for doing stuff that they do, right? I don't know, my friends. You can hear the frustration in my voice, but I'm frustrated for me, for you, for our families. I'm frustrated for my country. Who you vote for is important. Who you vote for makes a difference in how things go. Even if it's a lesser of two evils, sometimes it's the only choice we have. You take the lesser of the two evils. Because if not, you're just stuck with evil. I'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? The good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come inside, come inside. Right? Emerson, Lake, and Palmer for you life-experienced individuals. This is Lieutenant Joe here with Chasing Justice. And on round three, let's talk a little bit about that violence and what's going on in our nation, because we still have to look at that. What about these wildfires? Can you believe these wildfires that are burning out in California? I saw a picture the other day, a satellite photo, that showed the smoke going from California, drifting on the winds, to Michigan. I have a cousin who lives out in Washington State, and she's beautiful mountains behind her house, gorgeous. She took a picture of last week and this week before the fires, and you could see the mountains in the first picture. In the second one, it is pitch black at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can't even see the back porch of her house. This is a horrible thing. Now, I know I read the other day that there were a few deaths that they already realized. But I think there was an official in Oregon who was out warning the public that by the time they get into this area where these fires just ravaged so much land, that it's going to be a shocking mass casualty event. People couldn't get out of their way as the fires approached, and lots of people are going to be found to have been killed by these flames. Now, we see a lot of arguments about this, and when people lose their lives, we need to get our act together. When people lose their lives, we got to stop nonsense talk, political talk, argument talk, and we have to think about reality. Now, wildfires are a natural occurrence of nature. It happens in nature. You have dry wood, you have grass, you have forests, and you have lightning that strikes occasionally and starts a fire and it burns. And then back in the day before people and fire companies, it would burn itself out. It might have burned the entire West Coast down, started it over again a million times in the last 1,000 years. But we know that forest fires are a natural occurrence. So there's a way to help manage those forests. Right? I saw Ava Armstrong, who's on here on the platform all the time. Brilliant woman, very well spoken, great author. She was tweeting the other day and she was saying that, you know, forest management is a real thing. You don't just leave the forest the way it is and hope for the best, because then it'll burn. That's nature. That's what happens. You know, you go in, you clear out the underbrush, the dried underbrush. You clean things out. You manage your forest. Well, in California, we know their policies say, leave the forest alone. Let it stay natural. Well, if you let it stay natural, it's going to burn. And unfortunately, you know, 1,000 years ago, a lot of us weren't living there when it was burning. Now, lots of us live there, and we burn and we die. So let's stop with the nonsense that we're going to ruin the planet by managing the forest. Right? We have to manage lots of things. The Lord our God said, humans, you're in charge of everything, be good to everything, and do it right. You know, that's a paraphrase of God. Sorry, God, hope you don't mind I'm doing that, but we all know that, right? We're supposed to take care of the things here on the planet, but they're here for us to use as we need. You know, the animals are here to serve us. We have to treat them properly. We can't be cruel to animals, but they're here to provide us with food and with clothing. We're here to manage the grounds, to make sure the earth stays beautiful and keep it clean, keep the waters clean, the air clean. We have to manage all that, right? Everything in life requires us to manage things. When people step in with nonsense, ridiculous thoughts and ideas that they know better, excuse me, I'm getting myself very upset now. When people do that, and then the forest burns and it kills dozens of people because we didn't manage it properly. And I'm not saying in this case that was completely a story, so please don't lose your minds on me. It seems to me, by what I'm hearing, that is the case. Now, at the same time, the governor of California comes out, Newsom, and he goes, well, that's the end of the argument about climate change. That's the end of that argument. These fires now prove it, and that's it. Except for the inconvenient fact that they've arrested, I think, 2 or 3 people for setting fires that started burning and got out of control. They arrested people. So who are those people they arrested? You know, we've heard that they've been arrested for starting fires out there. What was their purpose for starting the fire? Were they just stupid campers and they let a campfire get out of control? That happens. People are people. They're not always careful. You know, you go camping, an ember jumps out, catches the woods on fire. Absolute tragedy. But it does happen without any evil intent. And then there's people that start fires. Where have we seen them recently? Where do they show up and do fire? And then, except when you set it on purpose, they call it arson. Have we seen that anywhere in our country? Oh, yeah. Many, many of our cities are burning because people are trying to use fire as a weapon. So can we think that these people who started these fires, if they started the fires, that's what the investigation reveals, that they were doing it for a stupid reason? Or do you think they were doing it maybe for a nefarious reason? They're trying to start fires, right? Absolutely horrible. I'm praying for everybody out there. I hope that the final toll of people is kept to the absolute minimum and that people can survive their injuries and, you know, the insurance pays and they get their homes back or whatever. Whatever can be done to help them. You know, we probably all have to chip in at some point and try and help people out there. They're going to need supplies, clothing, food, whatever they need. We're Americans. We should try and do that, right? Those fires are just absolutely terrible, and I wanted to mention that. And I don't know the cause of those fires, but we're seeing reports, but we're not seeing a lot of, you know, who are these people? Are they Antifa? Are they right-wing nuts? I don't care which one, which idiot group they're from. If they started them on purpose and one person died, they should be charged with homicide. If that was the proximate cause of that person's death because these idiots lit a fire, then they should have to pay for that. We can't just let people walk away. We have to set an example so that other people that say, you know, I think I'll use fire to make my point, would maybe keep their matches in their pockets and not be idiots and start fires. Not even idiots. Not be evil and start a fire. Okay? I'm really ramped up today, ain't I, people? So, Lieutenant Joe is really going at it here. If it wasn't for the fact that I really do care about people, I probably wouldn't get so upset. I'd probably just go about my life. My town's not on fire, right? My town's not burning. Nobody's looting here. We don't have people shutting down my street. I probably could care less. But I do care because it's my country. This is my country. And it doesn't matter whether I'm in Sioux Falls or whether I'm in San Diego or whether I'm in, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Everybody in this country, we're all fellow Americans, men and women, right? We're all family, really. If we don't start acting like it, we're going to lose our family. You know, it's going to be like a great big divorce. Wow, Lieutenant Joe, what a concept, a divorce, a national divorce. Has that ever happened before? Well, I don't know. Let's look in this history book right here. Let's see. We got a history book here. What do we got in? Oh, there's a thing called the Civil War, when the country was going to split in half. A divorce. Two different ideologies of government and how people should live their lives came into conflict with each other. And it started out as arguing and trying to make peace with it and trying to appease it and trying to overcome it with law and then using force. And it ended up in a heated battle where people died. Right, where people died, and it was a horrible loss to our country, and it was a terrible lesson. But we got lucky through that one, and we came back together. Are we headed for another national divorce? Something I was thinking about, a national divorce. You know, we could probably save a lot of bloodshed and a lot of shooting and a lot of killing and a lot of mayhem and damage to people's property and their lives and their families, if we just could maybe get together and say, okay, listen, when we look at ourselves politically, we are so violently opposed to one another. You know, I believe marriage is, you know, forever, unless, of course, it's really, really, really bad, and then people have to go their separate ways for safety sometimes. Aren't we in that position? Isn't it unsafe now to go to certain places and go out? Hey, go to New York and wear a Trump hat. See what happens to you, right? Go in lots of other places and carry an American flag. See what happens to you. Drive up the road. Say you support the police. See what happens to you. It's not really safe anymore. So, our national divorce. Well, if you ask me, you know, I like the Northeast. I like the changes, seasons. I love the mountains. You know, I love the Adirondacks, one of the most beautiful places in the world, the Adirondack Park. New Hampshire, you know, Maine, oh, just so gorgeous. Even New Jersey. Jersey is so beautiful in parts of the state. It's amazing. I love it here. And I do like the change of seasons. And I don't really care for the winter too much. But everything else, the other three are pretty good. I would say that if they said, okay, Lieutenant Joe, you are now commander of the world, Joe. And how are we going to do this national divorce? Well, I think there's two ways we could do it. We could say, everybody south of Virginia, all the way across the states, you guys are now America, traditional America, capitalist America. Everybody north of that line, you are now socialist America, the People's Republic of America. And everyone has 2 months to pack their stuff, whatever they're going to do, and go their separate ways. And we divorce, you know? And of course, we have to have a judge in there to say, you know, you're taking your stuff and to even out all the money. Now, this is fantasy, people. Don't lose your minds. You know, I'm giving you a fantasy here of this. There'd be lots of roadblocks, all this. But if we could just do it, if Commander Joe could say, we're going to split the country, I would take the South because the weather's better. And I'm at that age now where I'm sick and tired of the winter. And I like, you know, warm weather. So I would take the southern part of the United States all the way across, Grand Canyon, all of that stuff. And then all the liberals could go north. Now, that's one way to do it. We could separate ourselves. Now, they wouldn't want a border. They would want us to be able to just come right into their area and take all their stuff because that's what they want now, right? So they wouldn't want a border between the People's Republic of America and Free America. That's what I would call it, Free America and People's Republic of America. So the People's Republic of America, they would not want a fence or a border because they would want us to come in and take their stuff and take advantage of their stuff, right? And we could vote in their elections and all that. They'd be happy with that because they're happy with that now. So I can't imagine they wouldn't be happy with it in the future. Us, on the other hand, we would want a border here in free America. We would want an actual border because we would want our citizens to come first. We want to decide who gets to come here. What do we need to come to free America? Who do we need to come here to make free America better? You know, what is it that we can do? So that's one way to do it. Not the dividing line. Virginia South would be free America, and north of there would be the People's Republic of America. Now, that would leave out a lot of people, maybe in the Northwest, some parts of the Midwest, that really are like, you know what, we're done with this whole idea of socialism and this democratic crap. We want to live where we want to live, and we don't want to go south. We like it here. So maybe we just give the liberals the Northeast and the Southeast section of California. You know, to state, and we'd give them free passage. You know, we'd make a highway that they could drive on. You know, they could drive on that highway to get to their two parts of their country. But the rest of the country would be free America. We would be ruled by the Constitution. We would have our rights. We'd be able to go to church, right? If there was a virus, we would make a decision personally of how we're going to respond to that. In the People's Republic of America, in parts of the Northeast, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, I don't want to say Pennsylvania. I hope they would join us, you know, in free America. But, you know, whatever parts, maybe half of Pennsylvania would go that way. You know, in all those liberal states, they would be able to do whatever they want to do. They could riot if they want to riot. They could burn everything down. They could have no cops. And because we know how that would work out for them, if we weren't there worrying about laws and the Constitution, it'd probably be a paradise for them. So I think it would be great. They'd get what they want. We get what we want. And that national divorce could take place. Now, if that really came down to a question, and I say it as a fun idea, a spinoff on the whole Civil War type of thing where we have to stay together, but we're going to fight it out. That leads to a lot of people getting hurt and killed. Isn't there a better way to do it? Couldn't we do it by a vote? Couldn't we talk? You know, you guys can have everything you want. We can have everything we want. We just go our separate ways. You know, we've fallen out of love with each other. It's just not right. I've decided to go a different direction. It's not your fault. It's mine, right? Wouldn't that be something if we could do that? You know, I think about it and I say, you know, you can go to some countries that are not as hospitable as others, and you can go vacation there. You know, I guess maybe you could get a permit if you wanted to go to the Adirondack Park. Although the people in the Adirondacks, that part of New York, they probably want to be a part of, you know, free America. So maybe we could have a little islands of freedom and little islands of socialism. And they would have like a free pass. You know, you could go to specific places. Now, you couldn't stop anywhere else. You'd have to only go to your place and then you come back. But that would be interesting, wouldn't it? We would have all our constitutional rights, and the people in the People's Republic of America, they would have their Politburo and their outside parties and their live-ins, and you know, they could have all their people living on the street, crapping on the street, shooting drugs on the street, whatever makes them happy. You know, obviously those things do. When I go to those cities, that's what I see going on. So I would assume that would make them happy. It doesn't make me happy. I don't like that. I don't like that environment. I feel bad for people living on the street. I'd want to get them inside somewhere, you know? But that's just me. But if people wanted to live like that, like they live in San Francisco, and how they live in Chicago, and how they live in New York, and all these other places that are liberal bastions, they should be able to do that. Who are we to tell them how they should live? See, that's the one thing. Free America, you could do what you want. Just do it in your own place. Don't do it over here. So here, down here, if you come down here, you know, you're going to have to follow the rules down here, which is constitutional rights. We treat people appropriately. We have real tolerance, not the tolerance you talk about, you know, only for people who agree with you. Our tolerance is real tolerance. You know, you could come on down here, you could vacation, you could spend your dollars here, and then you go back. You know, you don't come down, you don't move to Texas and bring your idiot New York City views with you. And then try and change Texas. No, that's why you have your own country now. You stay there with your imbecilic ideas of socialism and ruling people's life. Imagine how many laws you could make. Now, I'm speaking specifically to my liberal friends out there who love liberalism. If you had your own country, do you know how many laws you could make? How much of people's lives you could control? How you could restrict everything? You could say businesses can only be open one day a week at half price, and every other day they have to give everything away. You could have free college. Could you imagine MIT in Massachusetts is now free? Yale and Harvard, Boston University, I mean, all NYU, all these great schools would be absolutely free. And that would be a great benefit to the people in the People's Republic of America in the North. You know, down in the South, you know, we would still have to pay for college probably, you know. But I guess if we're reshuffling the deck, we might be able to come up with a more reasonable system of paying for things, right? We could try and figure that out. You know, you still got to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for things. You know, we know that, you know, down here. And the tax, could you imagine the tax laws you could announce in the People's Republic of America? You could take 100% of what people make and redistribute it to each other. You would not be happier in the world than if that happened. You know, of course, down by us, you know, in the free America, we would have, 2% tax and a 3% tax for this. And mostly we keep our own money and make our own decisions. And you can laugh at us over the border of how ridiculous we are to, you know, live our life without being told what to do, without the government telling you how to do it. You know, I think about that. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever wonder if we could really do that? You know, the People's Republic of America in the North and the free America in the South. We could all live our lives. We don't have to fight about it anymore. We don't have to argue. We just live our own way. Wouldn't that be freedom? I don't know, my friends. Thanks for taking this fanciful journey with me today here on Chasing Justice. I'd love to hear from you at Pangaro Global, at Pangaro Global on Twitter. And jpangaro@americaoutloud.com is my email if you got something to say, or if you'd like to be a governor in one of the southern states. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.